Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Today on The Ether, the Atlas DAO update. Let's take a listen.
How's everybody doing?
Doing great, brother. Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it. I'm excited to see what we're going to talk today. Oh, so as for everybody here, we have Chain. I don't know if I'm saying like Chain C, right?
Chauncey.
My bad. He's the founder of Angel Protocol, and Daniel Gabriel, founder of Gelato. And Armstead, the legend, would be co-hosting with us. Yeah, so today's space will be a great space. We have three amazing people, and that will be talking about the project, and also talk a little bit about the non-profit side of crypto, how we can advance in that aspect, and share a little bit about Atlas DAO future, what we're working on. So in the meantime, we're just going to wait for more people to come in, but we can start talking about anything.
Hey, Jacob, how are you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm still. How's everything?
All right. I see the commoners got to join us this week. Hey, commoners.
Yeah, let me invite him.
Oh. Hey, Rarma.
Yeah, because I know they are launching the project soon too, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Rarma in the building. What's up, Rarma?
I don't know if Donald's announced the commenters mint date on Twitter yet.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Navaye. I don't know about your end.
Yeah, we're all doing great.
I'm putting on a headset. I don't know if you can hear me loud and clear.
Yeah, we can.
Okay,
can hear.
Good evening, everyone.
All right.
I'm honored to be on this space.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, so we should wait for others, right?
What happened?
I say we should wait for others, right?
Yeah, we should be good, all
right.
Yeah?
All right.
All right, so why don't we start about Chauncey? Can you, I know we talked before last week about Atlas DAO, non-profit side and Angel Protocol, and I'm a big fan of Angel, what you guys are doing in the non-profit side. I had to go to a lab with the UST, but you guys are rebuilding, which is great. We do need the non-profit side of crypto. Why don't you tell a little bit about Angel Protocol and we can start from there.
Yeah, man. So Angel is currently preparing to relaunch on the Cosmos. We started as a charitable endowment blockchain dApp. Our mission is really to democratize access to opportunity for the organizations who need it most. And so we were able to develop good traction there, onboarding over 160 charities, raising over $6 million through them. We have a charity marketplace where donors can go and browse through different charities aligned by the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals, select the organization they want to donate to, and then the donor can choose how much of that donation goes directly to the charity to use immediately and how much is invested in what we call an endowment account. So for those not familiar with endowments, it's really just a investment and savings vehicle that is used by nonprofits for financial sustainability. So for anyone familiar with the nonprofit space, one of the big issues is that nonprofit organizations are demonized for having overhead
but are also demonized for not operating like a business. And a successful business requires overhead, right? So with nonprofits, they end up in this sort of negative catch-22 where they need to raise funds to do their work, but they have difficulty raising funds in a sustainable way. So they end up in this fundraising trap where a lot of their effort and time is spent trying to raise additional funds rather than doing what they're best at, which is the important work on the ground. So with Angel Protocol, the mission is really to make it so that these organizations have more time to do their effective work and spend less time fundraising. And the best way to do that is to shift the mindset from a spending mindset to a savings mindset, where rather than just pull in donations that are immediately spent, we actually give them solid investment options through DeFi, where they can both source donations and then put those donations to work earning yield for them. So in this way, when you give once, your gift actually continues to generate more and more yield and revenue for the charities. So when you give once, you actually give forever.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it, because to crypto, there's a lot of yielding in crypto. So to that, we can actually use crypto as a way to help people in need. I love that, because I've been reading about Angel, like what you guys are doing and it's cool. And also with Atlas DAO, like when I started this project, I wanted Atlas DAO to do things related to the nonprofits, because one of our goals, I talked to you also, is to either launch a nonprofit or just do the DAO aspect, like do everything on DAO, like an impact DAO, sometimes similar to what Aqua DAO is doing. So I'm pretty excited about that. And also, our next NFT collection that we are launching, part of the capital also will go toward the nonprofit cause. So, yeah. So I mean, I'm excited for the future, and I can't wait to see what not only Angel Protocol but other projects in the crypto will do to that aspect. You know, because I do feel that there's need to be more protocol, maybe more project or more team focusing on. How can we solve those kind of issues like world anger? If Web 2.0 couldn't do it, why can't Web 2.0 do it? Because I see in the Web 2, we can't solve like the issue of people needed to eat or like the people needed to drink water and all that aspect. I don't know if it's gonna be possible in Web 2.3, but I would love to see more people focusing on that aspect. And I'm a big fan of Angel. and Daniel, I know you're the founder of Gillette. I don't know if you want to give like a small summary of Gillette. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but
sure. Yeah, no, it's a gelato. You know, we have a games like Lotto games, so we just thought it was the sound Lotto is also in the word gelato, so it was a nice kind of play on words. But you're saying it right. But I hope too. I hope that Web3 can really contribute to this, you know, to charitable causes and making a difference in the world in the way that Web2 couldn't. And you know, a big problem with the Web2 in this regard is just the ability to do small transactions, and everything's based around credit cards, you know, and traditional payment processing. And if you want to do something where you're kind of donating to a nonprofit or a charity, just giving a few cents here and there, it's really kind of impossible, because the providers out there for processing payments, they take so much, you know, they require like a 3% fee plus, I don't know, maybe 30 cents or there's some, you know, a large amount. So they make it really hard to kind of siphon money to causes that you care about, and to in a way, you know, that makes it easy. You know, the web is great. It has so many people on it doing small, and you could potentially, you know, make a huge impact by sourcing a large number of small donations. But it's just difficult to do that because of the way that the system's set up. So I really feel, you know, hopeful and confident that Web3 is going to unleash a lot of you know, positive potential in this area. You know, if we can kind of transform the conversation about Web3 and crypto into one that's about kind of creating a new economic playing field with greater individual economic autonomy and fairness and better distribution, and take it away from conversations about, you know, people are mainly, when they think crypto, they think more about just investing. You know, should I buy Bitcoin? Should I buy Ethereum? And they're kind of fixated on the cryptocurrency aspect of it. But I think it's great that, you know, people like you guys exist, because I think that in the future, we can really show, you know, if we succeed, we can show the world how the web can be a new economic engine for the world. So I just wanted to respond to what you guys were saying about, you know, what you're doing. And as somebody who's working on Gelato, which is basically we've been calling it a luck-based gaming platform. You know, we're going to have lotteries. We're going to have, blackjack and poker and slots and other games, which, you know, are yet to be invented. This is something that will naturally kind of, hopefully generate a lot of revenue. And it would be great to show that, even though that's something as kind of, a casino, something that's not generally associated with nonprofits or charity, to show how even something like it can be used for, you know, the greater good by, you know, partnering with, Atlas DAO and are looking to do good things with, with money, with it. So if we could have lottery games where some portion of that, of the jackpot, goes to your organizations to help, you know, fund what you're doing, I think that'd be a very, that would be a great arrangement to have.
Yeah. I feel like you should also, I feel like the best person, Chancellor Angel Parocco, we would love to get in touch with you, because some of the things they're doing would benefit in that aspect. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Daniel, I love what you're saying here, man. I can tell we have a lot of ethos alignment and how we're looking at things. And like some of the stuff you said with like the transaction payment fees and all that, like that is exactly where Web3, I mean, it's one of many ways that Web3 can benefit. But people always ask, like, what's the real world use case for Web3? What's the real world use case? And like, have you seen the philanthropy space? Have you seen the impact investing space? I mean, it's just rife with predatory actors, middlemen, all of this infrastructure cost. And with Web3, like with Angel Protocol, for example, we are able to offer charities no cost setup for their endowments. And with actual donations, we connect to multiple chains. People can donate natively and, from Ethereum, BNB, Cosmos, and get an immediate tax receipt for that. But we charge no fee on the donation. We take no cut of it whatsoever. So the complete donation goes to the charity accounts. And how are we able to do that? Because we're a Web3 organization, right? We build the protocol, and then it doesn't cost us anything on a transactional basis. So why would we charge the charities on a transactional basis? Now, with legacy payment infrastructure, it's not even like those companies are necessarily trying to be evil. They're trying to potentially do something good. You know, like you look at an organization like the Giving Block. I've got a ton of respect for them. They built up a huge traction in the space of crypto and charity. But fundamentally, at the end of the day, they're a Web2 company, right? They're just providing the infrastructure for these groups. But with that comes, you know, thousands of dollars of setup fees. It comes with 3-5% cut of every donation made. So they have to do that because they're a centralized organization that needs to pay their bills and operate, right? With Web3, you know, you can build open source software that benefits the world in perpetuity. So that's where I think, you know, the real exponential magic and scaling happens with some of this stuff. But also, I would love to connect after this call in terms of Gelato and Angel Protocol. One of the areas that we think is really impactful and unexplored in this space is this idea of corporate social responsibility and the fact that, you know, everyone is demanding more purpose and impact in their lives and their products and the protocols they interact with.
So we set up the Angel Alliance, and it wasn't even our initial like idea. It was a different protocol, Apollo DAO, that got the ball rolling, and then followed in a significant way by Loop Finance. But they started it with saying, you know, we're going to give 1% of our revenue to Angel Protocol charities. And then Loop made a big commitment of 10% of their entire token supply to be staked for impact, with the yield from that going to charity. So this really jump-started two concepts for us. One, the Angel Alliance, where we built up an alliance of 120 different protocols, NFT projects, validators, data analytics companies that have all pledged either a portion of their revenue or incorporated charity into their service offering in some way. And the other part of it is this Locked for Good program, where there's an incentive alignment issue, right? You have protocols sitting on these large treasuries. They want to make a positive impact, but there's an incentive alignment problem where if they donate their native token and that gets market sold for funds to be given to charity, it negatively impacts the token price and their community. So ultimately, you know, governance incentives are set up in such a way that the protocol is not going to vote to donate their own token for charity 99% of the time. With the Locked for Good program, we actually commit to retaining and protecting that donated principal. So we never market sell any tokens donated in that way. We instead lock them up either for governance staking or for LP yield. And then we harvest the yield from that, compounding some of it back into the position and harvesting the rest to be donated to charity. So the community and protocol are protected. They actually generate more donation flow over time because they've created a new generative giving engine.
Great. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Sasha. You got something?
Oh, I just want to come in here and say, like, kudos and best greetings to Chauncey. Yeah. He was, like, literally next to Denkyu. Denkyu and him were the first persons that I've ever spoke that, like, literally were bringing me into the Cosmos ecosystem. Like, thank you and him. Yeah, what a long journey. Yeah, it's wow, amazing. And then we should do something, and it's amazing that the Gelotto team here and Atlas and Johnson here, it's like, holy cow, it's happening.
I love it.
Something like what I would like as a developer, like something, some kind of like SDK or something, or some kind of way to interact, like implement any smart contract or any like tokenomics, make it easy for people to integrate into Angel Alliance, yeah, and into the Angel Protocol, like some like Git book or something, and then some contract addresses or something, and some documentation about that. For example, let's say I'm giving some Stargaze collection, yeah, and I want to split my like the secondary royalty fees, not only go back to my own wallet, but rather being split to give back to the Angel Protocol. I mean, Thales already got that like implemented, but because they're good guys. But I would love to see some easy to use documentation that everyone can do this, right?
I love it. Sasha, let's connect, brother, because I would love to work together again. For anyone who's not familiar, Sasha is the prototypical mad genius. He knows everything technically inside and out, knows how to work multiple Cosmos ecosystems and all the bugs. He's on the front lines of the engineering side, helping out a lot of people. So, Sasha, love your contribution, brother. And
Oh, I was just going to echo that sentiment. Sasha helped me out when I was first getting started on Juno as well. So it's good to hear your voice, Sasha. And I agree, you know, it'd be great to have, to build out some documentation on how to integrate. I can imagine some way for allowing smart contracts to, you know, connect with you directly and to send a donation and possibly, you know,
It will be more easy with the upcoming ICA controllers / hosts, like with the interchain accounts. And if all that is getting rolled out, it doesn't even matter like on what chain it is. It will be made possible that you can, like cross-chain IBC, send over some transactions and split fees. I'm going to make some proposal to Stargaze soon with some other people to allow this kind of first multi-signature deployment, and then also like to have some contract on Stargaze which should allow to kind of send funds not into my own Stargaze wallet again, but rather send them, for example, into a DAO treasury or to Terra or whatever. Some split contract which simply splits the fees, because you can put an address, right? An address as the royalty receiver, and that address could also be a smart contract. Just one problem is Stargaze is a permissioned chain, so you cannot simply deploy some contract. So it gotta be a proposal and audited code.
Gotcha. Because I remember the founder of that, in the video that he had, he's thinking about in the future of deep running DAO down on Stargaze also. So that would be amazing. Because I know,
amazing info. Thank you.
Yeah, and also with DAO launching the new, I think DAO is launching the token August 11. They just announced it. So one thing I'm excited for DAO is you'll be able to launch NFT in DAO. So with your NFT collection, you can do that. And I'm hoping, hopefully, in the next development, where you'll be able to do everything you can with a DAO as the NFT, like sending token as a DAO so people have to vote, like voting access. So
I think
that will get pretty interesting in the future. I'm excited for it.
What I was hearing there was like, okay, they will allow, I think right now you literally can send already CW 721 into some treasury. I think that with the version 1 that is up now, it's possible, but I think they have something like NFT staking, but that's like not yet really finished. And then, but what I know is like this permissions or like voting rights by having this in this NFT or something. If you can mint using DAO, we will see. We can ask them.
Yeah, DAO, I feel like DAO might become like a huge. I feel like it's gonna be huge. DAO in a sense for DAO, like you and a group of people want to start a corporation, like a business on chain, control it from DAO, a non-profit. So the tooling are getting there. So
And then I saw something new, a Vectis wallet, which is a CW1 on-chain wallet, with social recovery and things. There are some OG devs cooking behind the scenes there. It's kind of, I just had a community meeting there, and it was also recorded. I highly recommend checking that out. Also in the Juno Discord, there is a Vectis DAO channel, and they also have a Discord. And
do you mind pin it upstairs, on the link upstairs? Do you mind pin it?
Sorry?
Do you mind pin the about the Vectis DAO? You might pin it.
How do I?
So when you go on the Twitter, just go and share, and you will be able to
bubble
see.
On the bottom right there, and then tweet your reply, or no?
No, I'm talking about the Vectis DAO, about the on-chain
wallet.
Oh, you can. Okay, send it to me. I'll do. Send me the tweet.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah. So in the meantime, I just want to share a little bit of update about Atlas DAO and Scam and NFT. So as of right now, Atlas DAO treasury, let me just my everybody. So Atlas DAO treasury, we have about we are staking 346,575 stars. So that treasury is for the community, for the NFT holders. And as a liquid, we have about 1,000 multi-sig on Dada. So we are using Dada wallet multi-sig. So that's a treasury one now. As for the NFTs next collection, we're working on the next collection. So one now, our artist is almost done with the art. We plan on doing between 40 and 80 101. So the first 20, we plan on collaborating with other NFT artists. So the first artist that we'll be collaborating with to do one of the 21-1 will be the artist from Women of Cosmos, Maria. So she will be doing 20-101 for us. And as for the next collection, one thing we're trying to do is the virtual gallery, where you'll be able to showcase all your NFTs. So by owning the NFT, you get access to your own NFT gallery. That's still under work, so nothing is finalized yet. So when that finalized, we should let the community know about that. How's gonna be the development, the roadmap to that. And it should be more than that, because through development, IBCs interoperable. So there's so many things that I would love to do. So by launching the next NFT collection, you'll get access to all that. And also part of the NFT, we're working with a member of the community to add something new to the NFT. So we want the NFT to have a soundtrack. So by owning the NFT, you own that soundtrack that we're working on. And the goal, the way we're thinking on doing it is, each NFT have a different trait. So each trait will be attached to a different sound. So by having a different trait combination, the soundtrack will be different for each NFT. So right now, we're working on the rendering and like doing all the sound and testing and all. So, but the artist we're working with, he was on vacation, so he's coming back actually like next week. So we should finalize all that. Also, there's other thing.
It's so cool, man! Like audio NFTs, but like kind of like artificially built, like
yeah. Yeah, so that's what I wanted.
I'm audio engineer. I make music, and I know how these things could work. And
you wanna be involved? That'd be awesome.
I love to play with music. And like in Ableton Live, for example, there's something called Max for Live, and there you can also like literally code to create sounds. Yeah, that's great.
I'm gonna reach out to you after this.
I got one alpha, I got the technology ready, and I just didn't find anyone yet that has like 3D NFTs, or like most people are minting NFTs with 3D pictures. Yes. They were generated in a 3D program with Blender, Cinema 4D, or 3ds Max. Yeah, they rendered the picture out, and they mint this as an NFT. And I'm like, okay, you guys already have a three-dimensional mesh. What the heck are you guys doing? why don't you, like, I have the technology ready and tested and everything for augmented reality / AR, XR, extended reality that works on every iPhone from iPhone 8 until the recent ones, and also on Android, that you literally can look, have your phone in your hand, and you can place your NFT on the ground with your camera and just look at it and walk around it. Yeah, that shit works. And you don't even need to download an application for it, because there's something called ARKit by Apple, yeah, which literally works native, straight from your web browser. Yeah, that works.
That's great. I guess I'm gonna DM you after to figure that out.
I'm sitting on this since nearly 1 year and just didn't see any. I tried to contact Loop and stuff, but they were like, "Oh yeah, maybe later in the roadmap." Blah blah blah. People don't realize the potential. I mean, if someone is down there and has some 3D objects. I have been game developer for, like, as a hobby. So if I would have like some 3D files in whatever format, I can kind of convert them into this Apple / Android AR formats, and then literally create some landing page where you can view them. Yeah, straight on your phone.
That's great. So will that only work on iPhone, or can it work on Android also?
It also works on Android. I can send you, I can, like, the most beautiful thing is I can take my, the iPad that I have has this depth camera, yeah? And, like, it's called LIDRR. Like LIDAR or something sensor.
LIDAR.
Like, yeah, and if you have this sensor, I can literally go now and like scan some object that I have in front of me on my desk. Maybe not my desk, it's too messy, but some object which I created, like some art, for example, or like a drawing, yeah? You can scan that thing. And then I have the technology to, like, literally get this again from an iPhone 12 Plus or something with this LiDAR scanner, create this mesh from it, and then you can put that as an IPFS link, yeah, an IPFS link to that NFT, which then literally shows this 3D mesh straight in your browser, straight to your phone. And this works for Android and iOS. And I can demonstrate it after the call. I will send you some link.
Yeah, definitely. I will look into this. That sounds cool.
I hope you have... What is your device? You have any iPad, iPhone?
I have an iPhone right now. I'm using on the call.
Hell yeah. So, because that works the best. You will be blown away, trust me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. You don't need to open any application or download any application. You are on a website, and you click on this, and it says view in AR. But keep this here, like alpha here, for the small group.
Gotcha. Thank you for mentioning it. Thank you for mentioning it.
But now I was putting out the alpha. Now we have to like hurry up, otherwise some other people come around and say, "Hey, we minted the first AR NFTs." Yeah. All right, guys.
Thank you, Sasha. We appreciate it. Oh, it's Chansey. Can you let us know, like, how do you get into the Angel Alliance? What's the requirement? And yeah, because yeah, I mean, Robot Lights DAO could be part of it.
Absolutely. I mean, so the main requirement is just a desire to do good in the world. The Angel Alliance is fairly inclusive, and then we use kind of different tiers or categories depending on how you want to get involved. So if you know that you want to commit to charity or social impact in the future, but you don't have an ability to do that yet, you can join the Angel Alliance as a pledge partner. If you are actually, you know, sending funds through to charity through the Angel Alliance, you become one of our giving partners with different sort of, you know, badges and NFT tiers related to them. And then finally, we have the Lock for Good program, so you can join that way by committing a percentage of token. And then finally, the service partners. So like Talus, who built, you know, commission to charity into their mint here. You can see any NFT created on Talus, the creator is prompted to how much they want to set to charity. They can do that to zero, but in every NFT, it's at least a prompt in people's minds. So like that would be a service partner. Get in touch with us, just DMing. Amanda Kea and Trevor Ogata, along with Kevin Russell, are the members of the Angel Alliance. And there's an Angel Alliance Twitter at Angel Alliance _. I'll pin it.
Yeah, because I know today I have a talk with a member of the team to talk about that. So I'm excited for that. Because I'm all in for any project that's...
On what chain is, like, deployed, like, this the option to kind of... help the charity there, the Angel Alliance /protocol.
We are multi-chainers, sir. So we have a donation wallet set up for just about every chain imaginable. The level of automation differs since we're in the process of relaunching right now. But the actual ability to donate across any chain exists.
Okay, and how do you get these... wallet /contract addresses?
So I don't think we've published them out right now, but we could do that. I also have them available. So, I mean, Sasha, I want you to, you know, hit me up in my DMs anyway. I want to connect us with Andre again and see some work that we can do together. I'll share all that data out. And yeah, again, just reach out to the Angel Alliance. So we'll put it up on the website for the Angel Alliance as well.
There's also like a lack of, I feel like in the Web3 world, there's maybe a little bit of a lack of shared developer resources when it comes to developing dApps and the front end components for it. Like it would be useful to have something that other developers could come along and plug into their websites, into their dApps, that is like a roundup option, like when you go to make a payment, it's the user interface that allows you to say, like, you know, round up to the nearest decimal point or something like that, you know, and send that amount of money to the charity, you know, like pre-built components that make it easier to integrate with these back-end services, with the actual contracts. It's kind of cryptic when you're first getting into developing Web3 apps, you know, if you're new to CosmWasm programming, you know, how do I communicate with these? How do I use another contract on the back end? How do I, you know, it's a new thing and there are a lot of questions and there's kind of sparse documentation. So I think that, you know, if we started to develop like a shared library of, you know, front end components that other developers could come along and just easily plug into their projects, that would perhaps help facilitate that further integration with you guys. Just a thought.
Sounds very front end.
Love it. Absolutely. For sure.
Maybe one day we have stable script, CW script, which could make things easier if it's coming out someday. I don't know.
Yeah, you showed me that earlier. It looks, if people can do the smart contracts in TypeScript, that would certainly open it up to a lot of people. There's such a high barrier of entry for programming in Rust.
I got some connection problems. Sorry, if you didn't hear me, yeah, I sent you the link, by the way. Mr. Atlas?
The link for Victor, right? Yeah, so I just see them right now. So I'm gonna just check them, put them on top of the. So if anybody interested in Vectors, I put them on the top right there, so you can look into them. But I think we are closer to be done. But Gilletto, why don't you give us like a update about Gilletto and where you guys are at and what should the community looking forward to?
Well, you know, so I'm like the technical founder of Gilletto. You know, Risby is he's the smooth talking, you know, he's the guy who can communicate well.
Dan,
so
you want me to handle this one?
Sure, go for it.
So the near future to be excited about is Testnet coming out, and the secret claim. I know everyone's asking about that. The secret claim should be about 2 weeks from now. Testnet's coming out maybe next few days. Daniel's going to get a few close parties to help him do some testing, and then we'll have some incentivized testnet available to community. So that's the very near future of excitement.
I would love this thing to bones.
Yeah, you're in Discord with us a bit, Sasha, so I know you're excited for it. The other stuff that's exciting is kind of G-key accumulation. People are starting to learn what G-key is going to be for, and that they need to get some if they want to have a chance at the grand prize boxes. Risby is trying to come up with some really creative ways of putting some G-key out there for people to find, not just by getting in the LP or not just by holding Gilletto on your wallets. So some kind of treasure hunts, if you will. And one of those is with the Traitor's Mint on Loop in about a week. I think it's August 11th that the Traitor's Mint goes on Loop. And there's going to be 3 G-key hidden in that collection. So anybody minting could have a chance at getting some G-key there. So that's some other excitement that's happening that we're building around the launch of the platform. And then that'll be, of course, the big excitement that comes in, I don't know, maybe a month. I don't want to put too much pressure on Daniel, but it seems like every time he gives somebody an update in Discord or like some behind the scenes stuff, it's like, you must be working on these things like when everyone's sleeping or like a little bit here and there under cover, like, because you're putting out things like faster than I was expecting. So I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. My girlfriend might have something to say about that. about the, you know, because I have my day job, which is all coding, and then I have Gilletto, which is all coding, and we have so much, you know, to do, so many ideas, so many people are contributing to those ideas, and you know, it's a small team, and it's I'm not the most organized person either, so just staying on track and figuring out what the priorities are, and you know, I could just do one thing at a time, so. And on top of that, to make it even worse, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I'm always a little bit hesitant to put something out because it's like, you know, maybe a little afraid of the you know, the don't critique, for, maybe.
Don't for the pre-major optimization thing.
Yeah.
Like that was my personal killer number one for years. Yeah. Where I was like, ah, no, I should not. It's not perfect, or like, and then nothing got finished. Yeah, better yeah. Put something, but there is something. Yeah,
yeah.
Literally,
I mean, the,
from yeah, William yeah. Chen, he teaches that.
Fortunately, the other guys on the team are helping me, kind of not fall, you know, not be a victim of my own perfectionism, I guess, and they're, you know. I will, like, tonight my plan is to get, like, Homestead said, I'm going to get something out there on testnet just for the small group at first just to debug it and make sure it's pretty much sane. But you know, there's so much I want to do. It's a game, right? A gaming platform. So it's like in my mind, there's so much that could be done with graphics and animation and real time, like multiplayer interaction. And it's like, that's what I want to see. That's where I want to go. So it's like, I know that the first thing that we're going to put out is, you know, it'll have some bells and whistles, but it's going to be a basic lottery, a time-based lottery, you know? So it's like, you could only make that so interactive. But whatever I do put out, you know, at least I want it to be more or less aesthetically pleasing, and I want to incorporate NFTs, you know, at some level. And, you know, of course I want it to work. I've been testing out the randomness, you know, for it, and making sure that the probabilities that are assigned to people based on the number of tickets that they've ordered actually is, you know, mathematically correct, and it produces the, you know, if I run the program 100 times and somebody has a 30% odds of winning and then another person has 70% odds of winning, you know, I've been checking to see that the outcomes are around those levels, you know, so statistically speaking. So, you know, there's a lot of work behind the scenes, and but I feel confident that today after work I'll be able to, you know, wrap all that up and get something out there, and it'll be great because a lot of people are really enthusiastic about testing it out, and that's going to be a huge help because, you know, when you're working on something and staring at it for forever, you can't see the forest for the trees, you're just like distracted, but you're just focused on some small detail that you kind of lose perspective on the big picture. So I'm glad that there's so many people who are just really eager to start testing it out. And if you have any questions on that, just let me know. But this is going to be like the first mechanism that we'll be able to explore integration with charities and organizations, which we could kind of send some of the revenue to directly through the lottery proceeds.
Like, I have to read again, like, how you do this randomness exactly. Yeah. You know, I guess it's too technical for like this live chat here, but it's like the never ending problem of this, like, non deterministic, like, how you get the randomness and then chain link built, like, this complex systems around it and all these things, and you saw on Ethereum, like, okay, mm-hmm. they take the block hash or something, but even that could be exploited, yeah, with the local hardhat instance, and then like modifying the values, impersonating the addresses could be exploited, yeah, or like if the miners have, or if the price pool is big enough, the miners started to kind of literally brute force the cash, yeah, until it they are the winners, like this. It's crazy what people were doing. So I'm really excited to see if that works. You really solved some problem.
Well, I mean, you know, so what we did is basically take so what you were saying, if I can summarize it, is basically that if you try to use any data that's available on the blockchain in your smart contract as a source of entropy, which is kind of like the technical term for this, it could be exploited because those values could be manipulated by the validators or by other parties. So kind of what we're exploring here is the ability for people who, all the players of a game, to all be mutual contributors to the entropy. So, you know, when you buy a ticket, your address is incorporated into the entropy. When you also buy a ticket, you can add a random phrase or lucky numbers that gets incorporated. And there's you know, across the entire span of the game, all of these user interactions are all factored into the final data structure that's used to randomly select the winners. And so
I see.
It's like mutual ownership over the randomness rather than depending on a single source.
Seeding it again, and then like in unpredictable right. in real time, and then how should that be? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I would like to mention to everybody that Atlas DAO did launch all Valido nodes on Stargate Days. So if you have any stars, we would greatly appreciate it. And also, some of the things that we did, we launched on NFT, which is SkyMonk NFTs. And in the background, we're working to add more utility to the NFTs. But in the meantime, one thing that we did is if you own a couple SkyMonk NFT, you will be able to get a discount rebate on the fee that we charge. So why not we charge a 5% fee? So if you own each time, I give you 5%. So in the cap is you get 50% back by each SkyMonk you receive. And we also did partner with Zenshin Lab from Juno. They're like a reputable validator nodes on Juno, and they validated many other chain also. So with Juno, if you own two SkyMonks and you stake 100 new stars, 100 new Juno to them, and you'll be able to get up to a 20% discount fee on the validator nodes. And just remember to add the SkyMonks in the memo. So those are some of the utility as of right now for SkyMonk NFT, but we're working on more also. And one more thing, so we do have three Cosmosverse tickets we plan on giving away to a SkyMonk holder. So if you plan on going to the Cosmosverse and you don't have a ticket yet, but you are a SkyMonk holder, so join our Discord. So we'll be waffling it there for SkyMonk holder. So you should try to get involved in the Discord. Oh yeah, and we also have Primus here. He's the founder of Zenshin Lab. He's a great guy, and I'm grateful to have him helping Atlas DAO. Yeah. What's up, Primus?
Hey, good day, everyone. Thanks for having me on here.
What's up?
Always a privilege to be able to speak with you all. So, but I do have a quick question for Daniel. This is regarding Gelato. I did come late, so I'm assuming you had been talking about Gelato. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're familiar with the on the Juno Discord, you know, the channel that's been named Gelato. It used to be called Juno Lotto. So I actually started that whole thread there. If you take a look there, and I was looking for someone to come, to people to come together with this idea of a lottery, and you may be familiar with that. I think we might have interacted a couple of times. But one question I do have, and you can take a look there and see what I mean. Just look at the very first post. But the question I have is how have you been able to walk around or get around the word gambling, right? And as it relates to regulations, which gets to the work that you're doing.
Well, I don't have a very formal answer to that question at this point, but in my mind, you know, I think maybe other people see this more as gambling than I do. I see it more as, GameFi or DeFi innovation. It can be presented the front end can present this as gambling. It can present it as a casino. It can present it in a number of ways. But I believe that on the back end, on the financial analysis side, it can be shown to be something more, something that's more similar to traditional DeFi financial instruments of some kind or another. You know, there's we might start off looking like a casino. We might start off looking, you know, having blackjack and slots and lotteries. But I really am kind of looking forward to a future where the where we're offering kind of innovations on the existing ideas of staking rewards and so on. It's hard for me to say exactly what that'll look like, but in terms of gambling, it's I'm not really preoccupied much with like dealing with regulations, local regulations. This is kind of like under the radar right now, you know. We're on, it's a Web3 platform. We're not really centrally located anywhere. You know, so we have this other notion as staking as the house to allow so that members of the, you know, the user base can not only participate as people who are playing, but, you know, they can also play the role as, you know, of the house. So the house is can, you know, so there's like a game, like a Powerball game, like a Powerball lottery, where people have to choose the winning numbers. And if nobody, you know, if somebody wins, they'll receive the reward. But if nobody wins, that money can be distributed across all the people who are playing the role of the house, providing the funds, you know, for the game. And that's somewhat similar to staking. It's not like mathematically equivalent, but it allows a reward to be distributed to people who are in some sense investing in the platform, you know. But I think I think my partner Risby, if you wanted to reach out to him, he was the one who was originally pulled into the Juno Discord and asked to take over that. His mind is way more like tuned into the tokenomics aspect of it and the gambling aspect. But he and I are both kind of like do first, ask questions later kind of people. So I'm sorry if that was kind of a vague response,
and I really didn't mean to put you on the spot. I mean, it's, you know, the reason I asked that was when I put that channel together, and this was something that I did reach out to a number of people who were, I guess, senior to me in the industry, and that's saying a lot. They kind of shied away some very popular validators, for example. And what I kept hearing was, you know what, I'm not going to touch this idea. If you look at the encapsulation of the idea in that very first post in the Juno Gelato channel, you'll see kind of, so, you know, yeah, this is going to be regarded as gambling where I am. I'm not going to touch this. And so I was kind of curious as to whether this was something that you had confronted and you had sort of created a workaround or agreeing on how to approach that going forward. But by no means, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but thanks a lot for your honest answer.
That starts like suing a smart contract or a piece of code. I don't know. The first WebAssembly that got sued. Wonderful.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Daniel.
Yeah, no problem. And you didn't put me on the spot. I'm just, I'm not quite sure how to answer the question yet because it's just a whole dimension that I haven't explored yet. I've been, you know, sort of just tunnel visioned by the, just trying to get something out there and, I don't know, Homestead or, you know, if Risby were here, he would maybe have something to say on that.
I mean, I think you touched on it, Daniel. Sorry if I came in too loud there, guys. But like the idea of the staking to the house somewhat decentralizes the aspect of it. And so that was some of the idea Risby was having, was that that would help with some of those questionable regulations and things like that, is that if you don't actually have a house that's taking all this profit in this manner, if there's people that are decentralizing that, it really makes it an entity that's not grounded in one legal location. How is anybody gonna have legal grounding to try and, you know, take that into a court? And I think somebody said, like, what are you going to sue a piece of code? while I was listening there. So it's also kind of the same idea. If there's so much of this entity being controlled by individuals in all these different legal locations, who legally is in charge of that? And that's, I mean, inherently one of the, you know, main concepts behind this, right, is that if we can decentralize the blockchains, if we can decentralize the finances and things like that, it really changes everything, and how things can be regulated and how they can be shut down or how they can't be shut down and things like that. So I think that's the working idea right now. Obviously, as Daniel says, the team's focused on building. There's also an aspect of discussion in, you know, the back channels and things like that. Of, you know, we'll have to cross some of these legal hurdles at some point. I mean, even the most basic, like, and Rizvi has talked about this one in public, like the grand prize games at the very end of the year, the grand prize boxes, like, you know, there may be things that can't be delivered to certain locations, and we would have to figure out a way to do that to meet those needs. But again, that is part of, I think, having a community that is spread out in lots of different locations and being decentralized. And hopefully that will ultimately help Gelato and everything else that people are building.
Yeah, I got some people that we can kind of ask and consult there. I think that they are called Lex DAO or something. Like, it's like a decentralized legal guild. Yeah, it's like a DAO made up of jurists, lawyers, and legal engineers using Web3 legal settlement layers. So,
sounds interesting.
I will get you there some links, and they're really, really like lawyers, specialized on this stuff.
Yeah, it's probably worth looking into, if you ask me, just to get an idea of what can and cannot be done from a legal perspective.
Right? We're still in DeFi, we're still in crypto, everything is possible.
Yeah, but I'll look into that, and maybe I'll share it with the team. And it sounds like a good resource.
I DM you.
Oh, what was that?
I will DM you.
Okay, thanks. And yes. Another thing I was going to say is that the team, the core, you know, team at Gelato, we have like a fixed token allocation that vests over a 3-year period. So besides that, we have no other additional income from this project. So we're really focused on like as full of a decentralized system as we can have. We'll see if somebody tries to sue a piece of code.
That's great. Yeah. You're gonna buy in your.
Somebody asked to speak. I think it was Tytron.
Strange Clan.
Oh yeah, yup.
Yup, yup. Hey Tytron, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I did not mean to request they speak.
Oh, okay, that's fine then.
No worries. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yep, no problem. Have a good day. Thank you for letting me listen.
No problem. Thank you for coming up or for coming in this space. Yeah, so I think we are closer to the end, but I don't know if anybody from the audience would like to ask a question. You can just ask the mic and come up. You can ask to any of us.
Did commoners want to say anything about their project?
Oh yeah, the commoners.
I feel like
the commoners.
This is like the first time I've seen them in a spaces, so I don't know. Or maybe they're just hanging out and listening.
Are you young?
I can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay. I'm just going to keep it short because my English is kind of bad. And so I jotted down brief things about the project. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So the commoner is a collection of common apes with a total supply of 125. The play-to-earn NFT token game, which we are going to be launching on Stargaze chain. Our main aim of launching this game is to make sure our holders earn passive income by just taking it and using it in the commoner's land. I am the founder of the commoner. I'm Jonah Mark. Sorry if I didn't introduce myself earlier. So the commoners, I'm just going to go straight to the utility because that's where the whole thing, that's the main game. So the utility, which is the play to end game, what will be available in the game? We have the commons token, which will be our token. It will be used in our item shop. Everything available in our item shop, which is the house, the sports cars, the security if, attack order if, and common bank. We have the commoners bank. I mean, the house, you are only allowed to take 5 commoners per wallet. To be able to increase your staking limit, you have to buy a house, that means own a house, which is you are going to be using the common token to purchase it, not stars or any other token. We have the sports cars. Why will you buy the sports cars? You can use it to boost your earning in the commoners land. That is, and we are just trying to provide passive income for our holders. So using all these security apes, security apes, why they are worth it? Because you are going to have to protect your earnings from the others, commoners, from avoid being robbed and attacked. And what again? The commoners bank. The commoners bank will allow you to deposit your earnings in token, your common token you earned, to allow you to deposit them in the bank. Once you deposit them, no commoners can attack or rob you of your earnings. So that's it. But we also have a casino where you can gamble with your common token you earned from staking it, from staking your NFT. Then we have our token on mix for the commons token, the allocation for staking. We are going to provide the liquidity for the token so that those that don't want to use their common token in item shop to purchase. We have the rare and legendary ape also. We have to rescue them. I think I should just briefly about the storyline about the commoners. The commoners, once upon the time, they live, humans and the common apes live together. And the apes, So the apes, the humans treated the common apes. They are rare and legendary apes. The humans treated the legendary apes and rare apes with so much love and care, just as in the NFT space. This story is just about the NFT space, the way we treat common NFTs and the rare ones in that space. So that's where the whole storyline came from. So yeah, just I'm just kind of upset because I do meant rare NFT. So that was the whole idea behind the game. I do meant rare NFTs. I mean common NFTs. So they sell way lower than the legendary, the rare apes, and the rare NFTs. So that was my whole issue with this stuff. That was where the idea of this game came up. I've always wanted to end passively, and also my friends, I want them to end passively. That is where this game comes in. We wanted to launch on Tari chain before the whole issue came up. We never had the chance to open any official handle or all that. But here we are now. So a friend paid me to Stargaze chain. Yeah, he paid me to Stargaze chain. That was where I DM'd Batu. And yeah, he also directed me to Batu, for that he was kind of top guy in the Cosmos space, especially Stargaze. So I DM'd him. He guided me through most of the processes. So here we are today. I think we are over 2 months old. Yeah, we're over 2 months old. So that's just it. For now, for more information about us, you can check our roadmap. You can check our roadmap. I mean, our white paper, sorry. I'm just kind of novice. This is my first time of actually attending this space since when we started this project. And my first time also, I think, for building a project. This is my first project. About the team, we are a team of 5. Yeah. I'm from Central. We got Harry Grayson from US. We got Steve from US also. And we got what's his name? We got Lavi from South Africa. From me, I'm from Stephen in East Africa. That's where I'm from. So most of the team are not ducks because they work for other projects. And they decide to stay on tech because they work for other projects full time. And why I selected them is because I trust them and I knew them very well that they can deliver a good job for this work game. So just if you have any question, I'm open to answer.
Gotcha. Are you launching your token? Is it a CW token? Like, is it on Juno or
Yeah, we're thinking of launching on Juno. On Juno. On Juno channel.
All right. So we have someone coming up to ask a question. So Ezekiel. So hey, what's up, Ezekiel? Can you hear me?
I don't think.
No, you have a listener who came up to ask a question.
Okay.
He got wrong for a second, but I'm still. Do you have a question for the commoners or anything?
No, I don't have questions for the commoners. It sounds kind of like a game you're going to have to strategize a little bit for if you're going to play. He said, like, you could. I think, am I getting rugged?
Hello? Oh, the commoners, you might. Can you just. I think we're in the background now from your mic. Hello? Oh, yeah. I'm still here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so
it was,
it was sounding like you needed to, like you could decide to attack other people for their tokens. And, like, so there's, like, some strategy or, like, some, you know, like some kind of old school video game action there where, like, you can steal somebody's token if you don't have protection or something. So. If people are going to do that, they're going to have to, like, plan around that, because it doesn't sound like you're just going to be able to stake your NFT and let it earn passively. You're going to have to actually actively, like, do stuff to do that. So, kind of cool.
Yeah, well, Daniel, I know you opened your mic. Do you have any questions?
Go ahead,
Daniel.
Yeah, no, I echo what Homestead just said, and in terms of I've been thinking about how we can kind of integrate with these other NFT projects from the Gelato side, and I was recently just exploring the idea of using NFTs as cover images and background images of these lottery games, either because the lottery games themselves have the NFTs as part of the jackpot, or that they're just a theme, you know, the themed lottery games. So it'd be a way of kind of redirecting traffic to these NFTs to encourage, you know, people to explore these projects and to hold these NFTs and to enter these other projects at, you know, from the Gelato side. So something like this, you know, the game that was just being described, holding these NFTs and strategizing, I think it would be cool if we could kind of create a kind of NFT network around these sorts of things, these sorts of integrations. So same with Atlas DAO. Anyway, I'm just kind of looking forward to, you know, exploring these things, in the future. I mean,
thank you, everybody, for coming in to talk. I would like to, if anybody have any question for any of us, don't be shy, come out, man, ask the question. So in the meantime, I just want to do a summary for everybody about what we talked today, for everybody who came now. So Wana, as for Atlas DAO, we're getting ready to launch our next collections, hopefully by next month. Some of the things that we're working on, we're planning on having other artists helping with the 101 for Skymont next collection. So right now we're in talk with Maria from Women from Cosmos, so to make 20 of the 101. We're reaching out to other artists also to do the same for the 101. And as for the NFT, the thing that we're working towards is hopefully to get a virtual NFT gallery started. The thing is, it's not going to be available at the launch of the NFT, so that would be a working progress. So before we launch NFT, we'll try to have the concept down so everybody can know where we're heading about that. Because the thing is, I don't want to just launch the NFT and be like, oh, this is what we want to do. There's no concept. There's not a roadmap. So we want to have a roadmap. And we're also planning on using a multi-sig The good thing is the project is launching on LoopPlanet, so it's on Juno. So there will be a multi-seed open having a roadmap kind of like to hit. This is where all the fun are going. So everything will be documented. You could follow everything like we did for the first collection. So all of fun will be saved because I'm a big fan of transparency. And also for the next collection, we're working with a member from the community to integrate a soundtrack in the NFT. So the goal, the way it works is, but if you have an NFT, the NFT has a trait, right? So each trait will be attached to a different sound or like a soundtrack in the set. And by owning the NFT, each NFT owner will have a different sound or a different soundtrack from the NFT. So the thing is, I'm trying to do something new so to show that the NFT is not just the NFTs. And also by owning the NFT, we can help us build that community around the virtual gallery and keep building and create something that's great. And part of the NFT capital will also go to a nonprofit cause. So we're talking with Angel Protocol. We'd love to work with Angel Protocol. I love what they're doing. And yeah, so that's what we're working on in the background. And as for the first NFT, how will the second collection bring value to the first NFT? So we're planning on taking some of the capital from the second collection to stake. So if you own some of the first collection, you'll be earning reward from that also. So that's interesting to talk with that with the member of the community. And for the first NFT, why now? If you stake, you can earn more from your Stargaze staking and from your Juno staking. So if you stake with a Valda node called Atlas DAO on Stargaze, you should be able to earn more because you'll be receiving a discount back by the end of the month from the fee we take from you, which is up to 50% right now from the fees. And we also did partner with a great validator node on Juno for Zenshen Lab. So if you stake 100 Juno to them, no 100 Juno, and you own 2 Star Monk from your Stargaze wallet, and remember to add the memo Star Monk so you could enter to that. And as of Atlas, I'm a big fan of transparency, and I believe that every project should show transparency in everything they're doing. Our treasury is in a treasury, we have about 430 exchange stars stake. That wallet is public. You can check in our Discord. And also the multi-seek, we have about 43,000 stars in the multi-seek. Yeah, so if you own a Sky Monk, so join the Discord chat in the Discord. Let's build something cool that can last. And I'm looking forward for DAO to fully launch the V1 contract. So we're able to launch the DAO fully on DAO. So we won't need to use a multi-C for the most part. We could just take Juno, Atom, and all that in the DAO, and anybody who's the NFT could be receiving the rewards. Yeah, so we're actively growing our team, trying to get more people involved in our project. And also, we are working into creating an analytic tool for NFTs with cool UI. So right now, we are technically done with the front end. We are working in the back end to get the data from Stargaze. It's actually harder than I expected because you have to coordinate it with a bunch of developers for different timing and all that. So I feel like it's a challenge I can take on and the team can take on. So the back end, we're working on the back end. And I'm grateful also for everybody that I was able to meet during that journey. Like Primus down there in the listening, he's a great guy. He gives some great advice. I don't know. I could have made so many mistakes in the past, but he gave me some good advice, which I appreciate a lot. And yeah, so Atlas DAO is growing. It's a long-term project. So that's why we haven't seen us hyping Stamonk that much on Twitter, doing a lot, bunch of giveaway and all that. Because we're trying to grow that project slowly and steady. And when it's time for the bull market, we should be good. And as for the next collection, working on the clock to bring some new utilities, thing that haven't been done before. Yeah, so we've been running on more than 1 hour, so I would like to end it there, but unless we have any last question from everybody before we end the call. Any last word, Daniel or Chauncey, the commoner of Armstead?
No questions. Just thank you so much for having us on. It's great to connect with other projects in the space. I've been excited for Atlas DAO for a while. It's great to learn about SkyMonks NFT, really exciting stuff going on there. And yeah, Daniel, I would love to connect and talk about how Gelato and Angel Alliance can partner together.
Yep, sounds great. And yeah, thank you for having us on. And yeah, I look forward to seeing, you know, how we can really make this thing hum and start funding these projects.
Chauncey, I created a channel in Gelato's Discord for Angel and Gelato team to chat. So
great.
You can come on over and chat with the team and figure out what could work out.
Absolutely. Nice to meet everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Atlas DAO update, recorded on Thursday, August 4th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, huge sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. They're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Terra Spaces.